Well, thank you for finding us on a Thursday evening and welcome to Caching in the Northwest. This is the only podcast dedicated to geocaching in the great Pacific Northwest. We're going to talk about caches and cashiers unique to this little corner of the continent. So while you're testing every gift bag in the house to see if Aunt Irma's present will fit, we'll be caching in the Northwest. And, you know, we can't do that until we bring in our seafaring silverback. Some say he puts the naughty in Illuminati, and others say he knows Victoria's secret. All we know is he's called Land Monkey.
Hey, I just, you know, I can't share what the secrets are that I know, but let's tell you, they're pretty good secrets. All right. Good to be back. Really good to be back on the show. It's been a couple of weeks. This week, we're going to recap some highlights from my recent Scandinavian and Baltic Sea geocaching adventures, and I am going to answer a lot of our listeners' questions that have come in over the last couple of days. So I'm really looking forward to sharing a lot of fun about my trip. But before I get into that, I think we have some other business we're going to take care of.
As we always do. A quick reminder that we appreciate the support of our patrons who help keep this podcast coming each and every week. And they probably do something with kelp each and every week as well.
It's very West Coast.
Yeah. But kelp is more of a seafaring thing. We'll get to that a little later. But one thing we like to do each and every week is do our geocaching log of the week, or GLOW, as we call it. So whether you wrote it or whether you read it, we want to hear about it because great logs simply make geocaching better. Send an email to feedback@cachingnw.com. Call into 253-693-TFTC or use that handy-dandy voicemail tool right there on the website and show us how you glow. Now, you may have noticed there's only two of the normal three hosts, but we didn't leave you alone because Wits End, in all his generosity, has called in the glow for this week. Let's go ahead and play that.
Hey, Caching in the Northwest. Traveling for work this week, couldn't make the podcast. I miss all you guys, but I wanted to pop in and record the glow for you. Now, I'm doing this using the voicemail tool on the cachingnw.com website, and you can do that too. Or give us a call, 253-693-TFTC. In any case, this week's glow came from Fossies, who found Buffalo Tails.
That's GC71DMH. And the glow reads, I should have stuck to and used my original intuition on solving this one. I can honestly say that the lyrics to Buffalo Gals was playing in my head while I was working on the solution. I know for a fact that I went around and around and around on the outside and the inside, looking for clues. I should have stuck to and used my original intuition on solving this one. Using Frisbeer's log, I decided to examine the layout of the page. That's when I went deep into the rabbit hole. I saw so many possibilities of chords in so many different areas of the page that placed the final all over Tacoma. Fortunately, looking at Google Maps proved them incorrect. The few that did look promising failed the geocheck. I should have stuck to and used my original intuition on solving this one. Convinced that I was looking at another cleverly crafted and complicated puzzle, I knew that if I kept looking inside and out, I would find the solution. After a 2.5-day effort of looking at the cache page, then Google, then back to the cache page, I decided to text the CO. I wanted them to know that I was trying to solve this gem. After letting them know of the steps I'd taken, I was rewarded with a single piece of advice. Keep it simple. I should have stuck to and used my original intuition on solving this one. Put the puzzle away until the next day. With a fresh printout of the cache page, I went back to the first and simple idea I tried. This time, very shortly, a couple of things became clear. Not long after, I had a green checker. Since today is Pie Day and I know how much the CO liked pie, I decided to make the grab on the way home from work. Making the find was very easy. No need to mangle anything in the area of Ground Zero. Stamped the log, secured the container, and had a chuckle as I drove home. Thanks, Team Noltex, for another well-done cache. Gets a fave from us. Lesson learned. I should have stuck to and used my original intuition on solving this one.
Subtle.
That's this week's glow. Thanks, Fossies, for contributing such a great log to the geocache community and to sending it to Caching the Northwest as a glow. If you're listening out there and you want to hear your glow read on the podcast, send it to us. You can call and record it in your own voice at 253-693-TFTC, or you can head over to the CachingNW.com website and use the voicemail tool right there on the homepage. Thanks, everybody, for listening. See you soon.
Nice. It was awesome to hear him, even though we can't see him this week.
Isn't that nice? Yeah. Very good. So I should have used and stuck to, you know, just repeating that over and over and over again really does help for puzzle caches. Like, you know what? Just do it. What your first feeling is, go to it. And I'm a victim of overthinking puzzles. I always make them far more difficult than they need to be.
Yeah, I'm a victim of overthinking most things, so I prefer just not to think. It gets me through life a lot easier.
You want to take a moment and think about that?
No, not really.
Okay.
What I was going to say is you could, in fact, say that Jim kind of called it in this week.
Yeah, he literally called it in. Say, I just want to let you know that the voicemail tool, if you call into 253-693-TFTC or use the voicemail tool on the website, they both work, folks.
Clearly. Awesome. Well, did we have any other audio we're going to play, or are we going to jump into news?
I think we should jump into news.
All right. Well, I found some interesting news on Twitter today that I thought I would share. It's not necessarily geocaching related directly, but I know a lot of our geocaching friends love to use transit to geocache and are train and transit related geocachers. Well, you know what? If you like using the train and transit in the greater Vancouver area, coming soon to transit in Vancouver is Seth Rogen. That's right. Pre-recorded special announcements on our SkyTrain system will be from Vancouver, BC's own Seth Rogen. So, you know, when your mom takes the SkyTrain, tell her to cover her ears. But I thought that was an interesting little story, so I thought I would share that.
Ah, yes. Seth Rogen coming to the SkyTrain. So is he going to be doing, he's going to be doing just the special announcements or... like each stop or what? Yeah. Do you know what?
Yeah. So not the each stop announcements. They played a few of the announcements. They're going to have things like, you know, where they throughout the ride, they'll play announcements like, you know, please be courteous to other riders, keep your feet off the seats, things like that. And they just, he's got a few of those that he's recorded with his own little spin on it, a little comedic, and it's just kind of neat to have a celebrity voice when you're on transit. So it's kind of neat.
You know, I hate to say unfortunately, but unfortunately, it'll probably be listened to more because of the voice.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's Seth Rogen. They go, oh, yeah, hey, I like him. So guy. I'm going to listen to what he says rather than, you know, the more authoritative voice of, you know, don't do this. Yeah, what do you know?
Right on. All right. So what else have we got for news?
Well, okay. Following the chat, I have to back up for just a moment.
Yep.
I didn't actually look at the glow, the log or the cache the glow came from this week.
Okay.
And yes, I found that one. And I found, I think there are three red herrings on the on that puzzle before you find the original coordinates or before you find the correct coordinates. So I found all three red herrings and then figured out the original one, and they're all very well done. So in case you want to know, seven buffaloes in a row, the word buffalo seven times in a row is a complete sentence. Buffalo, 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 buffalo.
Okay. Sure.
Yeah. You didn't know that, did you?
No, but that's okay. I learned something new and Buffalo. Moving right along.
Okay. Moving right along, GeoCoinFest 2018 is coming right here to the Northwest. The cutoff for registration and the registration packets is August 1st. I almost got you excited. August 1st.
If you wait till October 1st, you'd be really disappointed because the event is over.
Yeah, well, then you can get the stuff really cheap.
Maybe.
Oh. Cutoff for registration and the registration packets is August 1st. I'm saying it again because it's important. If you're planning to go, make sure you register on the website. That's geocoinfest2018.com and log your will attend cache on GC7 Charlie X-ray 8 Foxtrot.
Nice. There you go.
I'm
planning to go to GeoCoinFest.
I am too. Did you know?
What?
The
thing. The chicken. No,
the people of GeoCoinFest.
Okay. The organizers?
The organizers. I want to say arrangers. My brain apparently has turned off tonight. Those people who arrange things and organize it have asked us to have a booth there.
Nice.
So exciting. You're going to see your friends from Caching in the Northwest, at GeoCoinFest.
You may even see people from Caching in the Northwest that aren't your friends.
Well, there's several of those as well.
It all depends on how you feel about the hosts of Caching in the Northwest. We'll be there.
Oh, you know, maybe we'll phone it in.
Hold on. Wow.
You didn't hear what I said to you, right?
I just heard, whoa, and then my headphones fell off. So obviously you're really loud.
Oh, I was so loud I knocked your headphones off.
I know, right? Okay. One other thing I'm going to share. I've been in conversation with local cacher up here in the Vancouver area named Fluff Knight. Fluff Knight is in the process of trying to put together a GIF submission. So if you're interested in participating in that this Friday afternoon, they will be filming in North Van area. So if you want to be a part of that, reach out to Fluff Knight. I believe there's even an event scheduled for that. So check that out.
Nice. Your very own GIF submission idea right then, right?
I'm hoping that works out well. That would be really cool if that can get done. In the chat, Three Hams and a Rose is asking about the dates, I believe, for GeoCoin Fest. And the event is, September 28th. It's like
October 1st. It's too late.
October 1st is too late. I think it's the last weekend in September. So
9:30. Yes.
September 30th. Okay.
September 30th.
You said 9:30. I'm thinking, no, it's only quarter after 9. Okay. Gotcha. Yes. September 30th. There you go.
So Three Ham says he'd love to go, but he can't restrain himself from buying coins. So I ain't going. To which Brylang says, oh, yes, you are. So Three Ham, come and sit in the Caching in the Northwest booth and talk to people, and you won't have time to go buy coins.
There you go. He'll be secured. We can handcuff you to the booth if that helps.
Oh, yeah. Then I like that.
Come by and donate money to release Three Hams.
Oh, it's like a jail thing.
Yeah.
Oh, they're going to give us money to hold on to them.
Well, whatever works, as long as they give us money. Got to keep this podcast going somehow at Three Hams' expense.
There you go. Hey, you know what I haven't said?
No, what haven't you said?
Welcome back, Land Monkey.
Hey, thank you. It's great to be back. It's
good to see you. Now, for those who don't follow social media, and I don't know why, but apparently Land Monkey had data everywhere he went, because
in most places, yeah,
there were like hundreds of thousands of pictures posted on this trip. Yeah, now,
not quite.
Would you tell us where you have been?
Absolutely. So, we participated in the Landsharks Baltic Sea Adventure, and that took us to 7 different countries, which was pretty amazing. We went to Iceland, Norway, Sweden. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Also to Finland, Russia, Estonia, and Latvia. So that was all the 7 countries, the 7 new country souvenirs we got as well, which is pretty cool. 2 days each in Iceland, 2 days in Oslo, Norway, 2 days in St. Petersburg, Russia, and then 1 day in Stockholm, Sweden, a day in Finland.
Bork.
There you go.
Run that in.
Yeah, a day in Finland, a day in Tallinn, Estonia, and a day in Riga, Latvia. So it was quite the tour.
Wow. And you said this was a 7-day trip?
No, it was a 10-day.
A 10-day trip. Okay. Now, all those places you went to.
Yeah.
Can you pick one out as a highlight?
Oh, my goodness. That is so tough. There's interesting stuff about nearly every destination we went to. And even the one where I was thinking, oh, this is kind of be a bit of a bust was Finland, because the same day we were scheduled to be in Finland, in Helsinki, to tour the city of Helsinki and do a little geocaching, was the exact same day, as it turned out, that the presidents of Russia and the United States were having a summit. And they basically secured and locked down the entire city. And so we did not go into the city for our tour. So I was kind of thinking, oh, this is going to be kind of a bust. But we ended up going out and finding a jasmer filling cache way out in the boonies, and had a great time doing a hike out in the woods in Finland. So that was kind of cool. So even though I thought that was going to be a bit of a letdown, it turned out to be a lot of fun anyways. And of course, the group we were with made everything fun as well, which was awesome.
Highlight. We have a question in the chat.
Yeah.
You talked about the group, and GSM times two wants to know, is it the same group with Ron Fisk, Zedon B, and several other OVC? That would be Ojai Valley Cachers.
I recognize the name Ron Fisk. So Okay. Yes, that would be probably the same sailing.
And I'm sure there's not a lot of geocaching cruises to the Baltics.
No, not that I'm aware of. So. I'll say there were 72 cachers and cacher spouses on this trip. So 72 people in our group on the cruise. So I didn't really get to know everybody. So there may be some names that I just didn't get an opportunity to connect with. But some folks I did, at least to a minor degree. So yeah, to answer that question, that it was definitely the group. Back to the highlight question. There's obviously the geocaches. There are some geocaches that were pretty neat, but also some of the cities. Oslo was amazing. It was a beautiful, clean city that just has so much to offer as a place to visit. It was amazing. Iceland's been on my bucket list for a long time. We spent a day, just Mrs. Monkey and I, wandering around the city of Reykjavik and checking things out and doing some caching and exploring.
Reykjavik was not on the cruise.
No. So there was, okay, so yeah, that's helpful. The cruise departed from Stockholm, Sweden, went to Finland, Russia, Estonia, Latvia, Iceland, Norway, and then going to Sweden were pre-cruise destinations that a smaller group of us did, sort of hopping a couple of days here, a couple of days there, leading into the cruise.
Gotcha. I thought it was just Iceland. I didn't realize there were others. So,
yeah.
Now, 72 cachers and caching spouses. Was transportation difficult?
No. And, you know, I'll talk a little bit later probably as well about how well organized all of this was, okay. But, the organizers, which would be, Tara Bradley from Marlin Travel, as well as, Helen and Chris from Landsharks, had everything just like clockwork, super smooth. There were times, where there would be two buses, times where there'd be one bus, and the excursions were all set up and managed so smoothly that, transportation was never an issue.
Nice. Just from the chat, before we get going too far, Brylang says, I believe Icelandic Air has a promo that lets you schedule a stopover in Iceland at no extra charge. Of course, you have to pay for hotels and expenses while you're there, but there's no additional cost for airfare.
Could be. I'm not sure.
You were going to do it anyway.
Yeah, well, I didn't book my own travel, so
oh,
that's that was all done by Tara Bradley at Marlin Travel was the booker of all of these things for us.
How lovely.
Yeah.
So you had people for that.
Yes, we had people for that. Exactly.
Okay. So you talked about a highlight. What would you consider most challenging?
The most challenging aspects of the trip, probably
the other geocachers, aren't they?
Yeah.
I wasn't there, but I can definitely see it because, you know, I consider other geocachers rude. They're not like me.
Yeah. No.
Oh, wait.
No. Going with a bunch of geocachers was amazing. So obviously, just in case people didn't pick up on it, I'm joking about other geocachers.
I am too.
No, going with a large group of other geocachers, a handful of whom I knew and a whole bunch I didn't know. Some folks I had met on a previous Landsharks cruise, and this was the next time I'd seen them. So, you know, over a year later, it was a lot of fun. Most challenging, probably the combination of the time change and the fact that the never got dark when we were in Iceland. So, it's kind of like your body clock was probably the most challenging piece of it, but you know, you adapt and you have fun and you get into it.
Yeah. That circadian rhythm, once it's thrown off.
Yeah.
So you visited 7 different countries?
Yes.
How many of those would you consider going back to?
I would consider going back to all of them, but probably not immediately. And really the reason for me is that there's so much else in the world that I want to visit that, you know, I don't go back to places very often. So, you know, eventually I want to see Helsinki because I didn't get to see Helsinki. So I really want to visit that city and see it. So that'll happen at some point. But otherwise, Iceland, I want to spend more time there. We saw some of the key things to see in Iceland, definitely got a lot of the flavor, but the weather wasn't great. So I would love to come back when the weather's a little better and be able to see a bit more, get to the volcanoes a bit more and things like that. So,
nice. Now, yeah. You asked on social media for questions and several people came back with questions for you. We're going to jump into those. The first one is from Bryling, and he wants to know, what travel documents did you need?
Fair question. So basically all you need is a passport. And of course, if you're going to travel to Europe, make sure your passport is not going to expire in the next 6 months. This is one of the things that they look for. So a passport that is not going to expire within 6 months of your travel is pretty much all you need. The caveat is Russia. In Russia, you require a traveler's visa, which can be challenging to get, or if you're coming by cruise ship, as we were, have a printed itinerary from an approved tour guide. So that takes the place of a traveler's visa for the days that we were getting off the ship. You would have to clear Russian customs. Every day you get off the ship, you go immediately into Russian customs. Wait in line, just like you do in Russia. Get cleared by Russian customs and go spend the day doing your tour thing with your tour. You come back and you have your papers, please. They check your papers again. They actually issue you a one-day tourist visa for each of the days that you're there, but they have to see that
itinerary each and every day.
Yep.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Did that slow you down much? Was it relatively painless?
The first morning when we went through the customs, the lineup was pretty slow and pretty long, but the second day it moved pretty fast.
Okay. And everybody's in the same line because, you know, communism is equal.
Yeah. Well, there was, I think, about 20 lines, but an entire cruise ship worth of people getting off at the same time, right? It takes a long time.
And of course, whichever line I'm in will be the absolute slowest. Yeah. So don't get in the line with me.
I was experiencing that also. Yes.
Okay. Clothes get dirty. Didn't know if you know that, especially while geocaching. How did you handle laundry aboard the ship? You just dangled things out behind you, right? Along the line.
You're on a ship. You can just
toss them out there.
In the water. Yeah, no, I didn't do that. Also was not a stinky monkey. Because we were going, because we were going on a cruise, we overpacked more than we normally would for clothes, but in the sense overpacked that we actually wore by the end, everything we had brought, and we had brought enough clothes that, dirty clothes weren't an issue. Even from geocaching, the clothes that got the dirtiest were the ones that we wore in Iceland, just because the weather wasn't very favorable there. But because it was so cold and wet there, you didn't wear those clothes after you left Iceland. So that wasn't really an issue. As noted, the hotels that we stayed at, as well as definitely the cruise ship, all have laundry options if it was needed. I'm sure some people probably took advantage of that. I had packed camp suds to do laundry in the sink or the shower if I had needed to, but it turns out I did not need to actually do that. So,
interesting. In the chat, GeoNavPros, who sounds like he went with you. I'm just saying he's got a lot of things of mentioning that, oh, you know, we did this and did that. He said, stuff the bag, $35 washed and folded.
There you go. I assume that meant on the cruise ship. I didn't
on the cruise ship for laundry is what I'm assuming, or I don't know. He stuffed a bag full of change and came back with $35 that had been properly laundered.
Let's not go there, but yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, so great. GeoNavPros, tested that out. I didn't test it out. I didn't need to, but there you go. There's an option. So now, you know,
that's one of the beauties. That's
$35 US.
Okay. Because
everything on the ship is in US dollars.
Sure. That's one of the beauties of a cruise ship. You know, you're basically in a hotel room that's moving with you. So yeah, you take as much as you need, you unpack it, and you know, you're going to visit all these different places, but you can come back to the same room every night and, you know, well, change or shower or whatever. You know, you don't have to pack up with each stop.
Yeah, I mean, to that end, and I don't know if I was going to say anything about this later in the show, but you know, I'll share this thought now. I've had other people since we've gotten back asking me about the trip, and you know, it's not cheap to take a cruise. So you know, I'll be frank about that, but it's also not ridiculously expensive if you think of it in consideration of if you were to go to an all-inclusive resort. Mm-hmm. And basically, a cruise is an all-inclusive resort that moves with you. So it's like you can go to an all-inclusive resort, get checked into your room, get comfortable, unpack, have a place that is your place to sleep, and it's always the same place to sleep. But that place moves to different locations that you can go and explore right every day. So in a way, it's even better than an all-inclusive resort if that's what you're into. I mean, if you're into, I want to sit at the pool and drink, or I just want to hang out at the beach and suntan and read a book, then, you know, cruise may not be your thing. But definitely, for us, this is just such a great way to geocache.
Well, that brings up a great topic. We're about the shore excursions. Mm. So going from country to country, were these excursions built for geocachers, or were they open to anyone on the ship?
Right. Great question. So the excursions we went on were pretty much tailored for the 72 geocachers in the Land Sharks organized group. Tara Bradley, who I've mentioned before, and I'm going to keep plugging her because she did an amazing job and I hope she gets more business. Tara Bradley from Marlin Travel, who was our travel agent, she had worked with Helen from the Land Sharks to hand pick tours at each of the cities, with the exception of Riga, the last city. That would be a combination of seeing key sites of interest as well as some geocaching. So we would go on a tour and our tour guide would be conscious and cognizant of where we would want to look for some certain geocaches. And we would go through that and it worked really, really well.
Okay. So you were on like a tour bus with 71 of your closest geocaching friends, and you would go see a site, and the tour bus driver then would, or the tour guide would know, oh, you know what? These weird people are going to go off and not look at the waterfall, but head over and look for some box in the woods and then come back and we can move on.
Kind of. Yeah. There's some of that. For the most part, most of the people really wanted to see the sites of these places we're visiting. They were going to some amazing places and so diverse, right? Iceland wasn't so much about the architecture and the historic buildings and more about the geology and the nature. Whereas a lot of the other cities we visited were more about the history and the architecture and mm-hmm. the culture. Not that Iceland wasn't about the culture, but it was more so about the place. Whereas a lot of the other places were more so about the people and the history. That all said, everybody who's there wants to learn, right? They want to learn, they want to experience, they want to see things, they want to, you know, be in the place they are. But, you know, while we're here, if there's some geocaches around, we want to grab those too. And so the tour guides were aware of that ahead of time and cognizant of, okay, in this location, we know there's going to be an earth cache over here that you guys are going to want to get. So we're going to stop here. We're going to give an extra 5 minutes here so you can make your observations, take your pictures. Okay, now we're going.
So, okay.
Pretty cool that way.
Good deal. So I assume, as is Land Monkey style, you've got 1,000 caches in each country just so you could hit milestones as you went along, right?
Yeah, not exactly, no.
Oh, okay. So did you take
the world turtle in Sweden, which was kind of cool.
Ooh, bork, bork, bork.
Bork, bork, bork.
Did you take any non-geocaching shore excursions?
So I guess the simple answer is no. But to maybe sum it up a little bit, as I said, Mrs. Monkey and I self-toured our way around the city of Reykjavik. Mm-hmm. We self-toured our way around the city of Oslo and the city of Stockholm, where each of those three cities, there was a geocacher's excursion or tour that had been arranged that you could opt into or opt out of. And we opted out of those three cities and chose to explore them on our own, and had a great time doing that as well. Instead of with a larger group, but, you know, found a few different things. Oslo, we took the hop on hop off tour bus, as Oslo is a really big city. It's really spread out over kind of, a large peninsular type area. But I would say in retrospect, we could have probably not paid the extra money for the hop on hop off bus tour and just used the transit in Oslo, which is an amazing transit system and gets you everywhere you would want to go anyways. But, you know, lessons learned. The city of Riga, there was not an organized tour for. Riga was like, you're on your own unless you want to take a ship, mm-hmm. one of the cruise ship based excursions. But we just went with a small group of our friends and explored the city and had a great time. So yeah.
Okay.
A little different in each city.
Nice. More questions we got pre-show. So if you're still asking questions in the chat, we'll get to those. These came in pre-show. Doramore wants to know, how much time was spent on the boat as opposed to on land? Would someone prone to seasickness survive this trip? Not even endure it. Would they survive it?
Yes, they would survive it. So... Yeah, you know, pretty much you're only on the boat evenings and overnight between ports, with the exception of the last day of the cruise was a sea day from Riga back to Stockholm. And it's, you know, air quotes sea day, because honestly, they could have made that run in several hours instead of a full day. But I think they have a schedule of when they're allowed back in port. And so they were kind of putting across the Baltic. Mm-hmm. But, honestly, the Baltic was exceptionally calm for our trip. And that ship is so large that there's very little noticeable movement at all. Mrs. Monkey and I were talking about that this afternoon on our drive home from work. And she's saying, you know, I felt movement on the ship way more on our Alaskan cruise than she felt on the Baltic cruise. So
interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Now you went to seven different countries.
Yes.
I'm going to guess 7 different languages.
Pretty much, yes.
Did you have any trouble with those languages? And did you translate the cache pages in advance before you left?
Great questions. So my only problem was if I tried to speak anything other than English. Every person we interacted with when we were in any of those countries, even Russia, everybody was fluent in English. Any person that we interacted with, whether it was in a shop, restaurant, obviously the tour guides, people in the various places we were touring, that, you know, even just bumping into people in the street and chatting with them. Other geocachers who came to, we had geocaching events in a number of those cities, and the local cachers came out for those events, which was awesome. And everybody was relatively fluent in English. So you basically could just speak in English and not have to worry about it. Language really was not an issue. And I find, as per usual, and I think all of us who've traveled a little bit know this, if you're just a little bit humble and appreciative as a visitor, people are willing to extend a bit of an effort on your behalf.
So that really answers my next question, is did you use Canadian or American English? But if you were humble and appreciative, obviously you use Canadian English.
Yes. Yeah. It was okay. Definitely Canadian English. I got a funny side story on that. I speak some German. My family there's a lot of German in my family.
I do too. Sprechen kein Deutsch.
There you go. eine kleine. What I found myself doing every once in a while, and it would actually get me in more trouble than anything else, is someone would, and this tended to happen for some reason when I was on the planes, and the stewardess would come by and ask something. And when we were flying Icelandic Air, they would always ask something in, actually Icelandic Air, they always just asked in English, but on SAS we flew, they would ask in Swedish first and then English. And when I was asked something in Swedish, even though I knew it was Swedish and I can't speak Swedish, I would answer in German. And I don't know why I would do that. And I guess it's just like this instinctive reaction from my childhood. And then the stewardess would respond to me in German. And for the most part, it wasn't a problem. And we would have, you know, whatever brief interaction we needed to have in German. And my wife would look at me, why didn't you just talk in English? I don't know.
Yeah. No, I've experienced the same thing. You know, I spent time in France learning French, and, you know, anywhere I go, soon after that, it was like, oh, I'm in public, I have to speak French. No, I'm in public in America now. But it was ingrained into you that, you know, it was just that automatic response of, oh, wait, hold on. English. I can speak to you in English. I can do this.
Yeah.
And you look like an idiot, but.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. That's fun, though. And I was just going to say, with the question about translating cache pages, mm-hmm. where we went, pretty much all the caches that we researched and looked at, the ones that we were really interested in, we wanted to find, so virtuals, webcams, earth caches, that would need a translation, pretty much all of those already had a bilingual description in the native language of that country and then English. So it really wasn't something that needed to be done. So I was kind of surprised. I've seen other countries, Germany, where they don't put in the English translations into the cache pages. So I'll just give you a heads up. If you're planning to go to Germany or France, you're probably going to need to translate them. But I found with the Scandinavian countries, they were pretty darn good.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So
one other thing about, since we're talking about cache pages, mm-hmm. I got to say, anybody who's listening to this podcast, go and check out just pick any cache in Norway, open the cache page for a Norwegian geocache and look at the logs, and you're going to see something super, super cool. They're testing something out in Norway right now on their cache logs, where you actually have the ability to vote on the logs. Was this log useful or not?
Hmm.
So it's kind of like a thumbs up, thumbs down concept, like you would with comments on any other social media platform. But you can do that per log in only in Norway. So I'm really hoping this is something that spreads beyond Norway and that we eventually get here in North America. I would love to have that function. But yeah, definitely, if you're listening to this podcast, go just randomly pick any Norwegian geocache, check it out. It is really cool.
You know, we'll wait for you. Go ahead and pause the podcast. Look at that Norwegian webpage and then come on back. Okay, thanks for coming back.
There you go.
Brylang says Norwegian logs, thumbs up only, no thumbs down.
Okay, there you go. I thought there was thumbs up and I thought there was a second option. I can't remember what it was, but
well, maybe Norwegians are just so polite. There are only thumbs up that are used.
There you go.
And that's why they started there in Norway and not in the US.
There you go.
But does that mean they would have more glow-worthy logs? Would those who are being upvoted, that's a word, right?
Yeah.
it came out then because it's only a word I've read.
Well, they're still listed in chronological order.
Right. So but those being upvoted would be a better written log?
I would think, or a log that's more helpful to other cachers. So, yeah.
Brylang says it's a trial that's been going on for a couple of months already.
Oh, there you go. So, yeah. Dormore added in that there is two options. It's a thumbs up whether the log was helpful or a thumbs up of whether it was a great story. Thank you guys. Appreciate that.
Nice. I like that.
Yeah.
I think we need that. We need the great story ones. It'll make the glows much easier to find.
There you go.
Okay. So you had no problem with the language. You didn't order anything odd in a restaurant that you were like, well, I wanted a hamburger. And what is this? It's still moving on my plate.
Yeah. No issues with that.
Okay.
Although I did eat like a Viking when I was in Iceland, which
I was going to say, I really hope you didn't order a hamburger.
No.
Did you eat mostly on the boat or mostly on the land?
So it depends. Obviously, in the first few countries we visited, because we weren't even on the ship yet, we did not eat on the boat. Generally, we would have breakfast on the ship, then go and spend the day wherever our destination was. Usually have lunch at the city that we're exploring, and then dinner back on the ship. Some exceptions to that. In Russia, we had... two lunches and one dinner in Russia at various restaurants, which were all amazing and just a super fun time. But generally dinner on the ship.
Okay. One more question from Dorimore. Did you drink the Black Death?
Not this time, but I had tested Black Death previously, thanks to Dorimore, so I knew what to expect. I believe a number of other cachers from our trip did try out the Black Death, which is not bad. It's good.
You're not supposed to have that in Europe.
Yeah.
They had the Black Death.
Yeah, they put it in little bottles to get rid of it. But I did try out plenty of local beers in the different areas we were in, and I had plenty of vodka when I was in Russia. So
good vodka.
It was good vodka, I gotta say.
As Brylang has posted several times in his Russian way, in Russia, you don't have vodka. Vodka has you.
There you go. Not me, it didn't, but there was a couple people on the tour that the vodka had them.
Okay, so it sounds like this was an incredibly well-planned trip.
Yeah.
What was involved on your part for planning? I mean, it sounds like everything was done for you, except actually going out and, you know, maybe finding a geocache and making sure you're on the right bus on occasion.
Yeah, pretty much it was. The planning was really, really thorough. So if you're going to do a Landsharks geocaching tour, a Landsharks geocaching cruise, pretty much you just stay in touch with, they'll create a Facebook chat group to help you plan and prepare. to discuss any questions. Plenty of emails coming to your inbox to help you prep. Pretty much you just have to pack and show up. Bring all the paperwork that was sent to you with you. Have your luggage tags on and you're good to go. They even provided all the pocket queries that you need. I mean, basically everything except hold your hand. and I think if you ask Derek over there in the chat, there's probably a little bit of hand holding, or at least sheep herding, that was going on as well at times. So, honestly, very little planning on my part involved. It's just super, super organized.
Nice. Was there a predetermined list of caches for you to download? Or did you just grab everything in the country?
Yeah, not as such. But there were pocket queries and there were, we knew where we were going on the tours for the most part. So then we'd be able to say, okay. And the only exception was Russia. And Helsinki, because Helsinki, everything mm-hmm. changed at the last minute. But we still got a Jasmer cache in Helsinki. So that was awesome. Got to Sungear. Or not in Helsinki, outside Helsinki, but in Finland. Anyways, you would know, so especially in Iceland, you would know the route that the tour was going to take. So you could say, okay, we're going to be at the Blue Lagoon. I know there's three caches of the Blue Lagoon. We'll be able to get those. We know we're going to be going to this location. We're going to be going to, Gullfoss. And we know there's a virtual and an earth cache and a traditional. So we know we'll be hitting those. So you kind of had that ability to go, okay, so these should be the caches I'll get. And for the most part, you're able to get them, whether you're as a large group going to the cache or, small groups split up and get to them. And it was really well organized and such.
So with 72 cachers, it's pretty much like a good size caching event where one person's going to find the cache and they just pass the log around.
That didn't happen as much as I thought it would, which was good, because that would have taken away a little bit from the excitement of mm-hmm. caches. So that happened a little bit, but it was pretty good.
Okay. Now in the chat, we've had some talk on pricing.
Okay.
So GeoNav Pro says air, hotels, food, booze, airport transfers, shore excursions, all in, I figure about 7,500 Canadian for the two of us.
That sounds about right. Yeah.
Yeah. Three Ham says that's a very reasonable price given that my last 2 week long 4-star resort stay in Playa de Carmen in 2003 was $5,000 for two people.
Right. So yeah. And that's what I was saying before, right? Like you kind of have to look at it in that sense. And keep in mind that leading into this were 2-day stays in two of the most expensive countries in the world, Iceland and Norway. Particularly Iceland is like crazy, stupidly expensive.
Well, how do you get everything there?
Well, this is the thing, right? So,
plane.
Yeah. So, it's sorry, distracted by the chat for a moment there. I'm being cyber stalked.
Yes, you are.
So yeah, if you think about it that way, and 3M's makes a great point, right? Like you stay for 2 weeks at a all inclusive in Mexico, it's $5,000.
Well, in 2003, yeah, 15 years ago.
Exactly. And GeoNav Pro said there, we throw in the air, and that's air to a couple of countries prior to getting on the cruise and the hotels and such and all that. So it really is, in the end, pretty reasonable price considering you basically just have to show up with your GPS loaded and your clothes packed and you're good to go.
Nice. Okay. Now, there are some people asking, did you happen to get every earth cache in Iceland?
No.
And of course, have you logged all your earth cache finds yet?
Yes.
Oh.
Everything is logged. So, yeah. Well, in the chat, they've already figured out the math of how many Earth edges I found.
Yeah, because they've already stalked you and looked at the map and figured out what's going on.
But again, for Iceland, I don't think there was even any Earth caches in Reykjavik itself. There may have been one, but most of the Earth caches are out in the areas where you have to kind of tour to. Mm-hmm. So you get what you get when you go on the tour.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, would I have liked to have spent longer in Iceland and checked out some different places? Absolutely. But still, just amazing. Absolutely amazing place. So thankful I was able to go there.
That little rock sticking out of the water.
Yeah.
Bright Blades asks in a question before the show, was there any cache that particularly was memorable for you?
I can come up with 4 or 5 that stick out in my mind for different reasons. One of them that I actually periscoped was in the port. It's called Port of Tallinn, and it was in the port in the city of Tallinn, Estonia. GC6 Bravo Mike 44, and it's just a really well done TB hotel cache. A bit of a gadget cache, but just an excellent job on a cache. It's got a metric buttload of favorite points for a good reason. So that was one. St. Petersburg, there are not a lot of caches in St. Petersburg, but one of them is a virtual at the Church of the Spilled Blood, which is, I mean, the virtual cache was a virtual cache. There wasn't anything astounding about the cache itself, but the location you're at is just so breathtaking. And it is something that was on my bucket list for so long to get and set foot in that church and be able to see it and experience it. And it was even more than what I had hoped it would be. It's just an experience. So that one is GC Golf N. What's N?
November.
Thank you.
Hotel Foxtrot.
And that virtual cache. It's all about where you are. That was just amazing. Next up would be an oldie. So I mentioned before, we got to Sun Gear in Finland, GC72. So, you know, when you got a 4-character GC code, it's an oldie. A lot of people on our trip, it helped them complete their Jasmer or get really close. We had already completed our Jasmer. So that kind of, I guess, helps on a second loop or whatever. But that was just neat. It was a really nice hike out in the woods with the whole group to go and find that cache. It was a fun time. So
that's November 30th, 2000, in case you're playing along and on the home game.
There you go. What else have I got going on here? A fun one. So a webcam cache that we did in Sweden, in Stockholm. Memorable just because that I've never done a webcam via Uber before. So that was a lot of fun. Oh. It was a small group of us who the morning before we headed onto the cruise ship were like, dang it, we're going to get this webcam. So we called up an Uber, and special thanks to RCA777 who actually did most of the arranging for that. But we Ubered out of town to where the webcam is. The Uber driver drops us off on a highway overpass, kind of shaking his head at us like, okay, crazy people. Got our picture. Got a ride back. Great story on that one. So that's just a lot of fun. And last memorable one I would throw out is in Iceland, in Reykjavik, there is a traditional cache that is called In a Crevice Among Some Large Rocks. It's GC5 Alpha Romeo Papa 6. Not bad, since I don't have a cheat sheet in front of me. I'm doing this by
memory. You did great.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So that one is, it's unique. And it's kind of cool because you're walking along a seawall So anybody who lives in any of the coastal communities knows what I'm talking about, where you have, you know, along the ocean and in your city, you've got a seawall. There's some big rocks that, you know, pile down into the ocean. And at one point between two of the big rocks, there is an aluminum U-shaped cover that's bolted to the ground and laser etched onto the top of the aluminum is in a crevice among some large rocks, GC5ARP6. And tucked inside it is the lock and lock container. I was blown away. I'm like, are you serious? This is actually the geocache. They somehow got permission to do this. So it was just really cool. So that's memorable just because I thought it was really unique and really cool. And it's, of course, very high favorited cache for various reasons. No,
I'm looking at the pictures of it. Yes, that's exactly. Wow. That's impressive.
Yeah, it's just so neat. So that was fun to find. And of course, so many of the Earth caches that we found in Iceland were definite favorites for me. I'm not going to list through all of them, but I'll tell you what, keep your eye on my YouTube channel. There's going to be some videos coming out soon.
No.
Oh, yeah. And I'm going to be featuring some of the cool, fun stuff we did.
Wow. Impressive. So, you know, we are running late. I mean, Land Monkey, you've talked too much.
Sorry.
Okay. But there were some other questions I want to ask quickly.
Okay.
What do they do with the ice carvings after they melt?
Drink them.
What time does the midnight buffet start?
Yes.
Does the crew actually sleep on board?
They never sleep.
And has that ship ever sunk?
Not that particular one.
Okay, well, then I think it was fine. You were there.
All right.
Now, if someone was interested in doing a trip like this, where did they start?
Right on. So here's my plug for Land Sharks. Definitely what you need to do is go to travel.landsharks.ca. And you're going to find everything you need to do there. Other than that, contact Tara Bradley at Marlin Travel. But if you go to the travel.landsharks.ca, there'll be links there to get a hold of Tara as well. So if you're interested in a future geocaching cruise adventure, check there.
Love it. Now, in episode 218, we talked with the Land Sharks about cruising and caching.
Yes.
Also in episode 124. So we've talked to them a couple of times about this.
And we're going to be back on in a little while as well.
Yeah, they do some great planning. I know the next one coming up is a Caribbean cruise.
Yes, it is.
So it should be a little warmer, a little drier. Well, maybe not drier.
I don't know if it's going to be a little warmer because it was pretty hot. They're having a heat wave over in Scandinavia right now. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was like 30 degrees Celsius when we were over there. So I don't know Fahrenheit. It's a lot.
Nice. Three Ham says, I visited the Land Sharks geocaching store in Victoria on Monday, and part of the enforced merriment the family endured while we were camping. Great store.
Awesome. So. Unfortunately, he would have missed the Land Sharks, who are still visiting family in Sweden right now. So.
Yeah. But nonetheless, Land Monkey, thank you so much. I mean, you had an incredible adventure. And you got to do geocaching on top of it.
Yeah, that was just an amazing adventure. And it was fun to share it with some of the other folks from, you know, even from who listened to this podcast in the chat. So
nice. Great. Nice. Hey, as we do every week, if somebody wanted to find you online, where would they go to watch some of those videos that are coming up that aren't released yet? So they can hold their breath.
There you go. Well, you won't have to hold your breath too long. You can check us out. Follow us on YouTube. It's Land Monkey, LANMONKEY. But the easiest way is to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, at Land Monkey GC. And of course, on Facebook, we're Team Land Monkey. And the website, landmonkey.blogspot.ca. How about you, my friend?
Well, you know what? anywhere you can find Caching NW. That can be Facebook, that could be Twitter, you know, if Facebook is still around after today. Or you can go over to cachingnw.com/hosts, read our bios, find all those links we mentioned, and a few more that we keep secret from you. But most of all, we want to thank our faithful Denali level supporters. That's Bounce Bounce, Team Squirrel, Limax, and worldcaching.com. If you want to know more about supporting the show, click the Patreon link on the cachingnw.com website. And even though we mention our Denali level supporters, we want to thank all of our supporters. That's B Pendragon, Broncos Fans for Life, Sprouter, Camp Clan, Tick Magnet, Kev MacD, Subway Mark, Dora Moore, Dune Buddy, Kid Vegas 19, Geo Nav Pros, Wino Seattle, Acker Doc, Billy Robson, G Nice, Antaeus, Keats 94, Curiosity Girl, Trexer, and MC3 Cats.
I heard you sneaking a breath in there.
I think I did, yeah.
Well done, though. Well done. And thanks to everybody who supports this show every week. We really appreciate it.
Certainly do.
All right. Well, we want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this episode of Caching in the Northwest. Remember that you can be a part of this show, calling 253-693-TFTC. Leave us a comment, ask a question, or buy us some Swedish meatballs on a cruise ship any time of the day or night. Of course, you can email us at feedback@cachingnw.com. Also, your support helps to keep quality shows coming. So if you like the show, please click the Patreon link on the cachingnw.com website and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and more. The show is produced by Chris Infinar and Jay Kennedy, hosted by Chris J and Jim Pollitz. This show is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 3.0 license. Copyright 2018 by Chris Umfanauer.
Now, in Russia, you stay tuned for the
after show. No, in Russia, the after show, stay tuned for you. Wait a minute.
Hey.
What?
We're officially in the after show. The after
awesome. Show.
Did you know it's Breilang's birthday?
I picked up on that.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Breilang.
I knew that earlier because we're friends and friends on Facebook. So I was aware of that earlier today, but I think there was a subtle mention of it in the chat.
Yeah, like happy birthday to me. Not very subtle. In Soviet Russia, after show watch you.
There you go. That's better.
There you go. Okay. Three Hams says, oh, by the way,
yeah,
if you're new to the show, welcome and thank you. The after show is an opportunity we get to chat with those who are watching live, listening live. And if you are in the chat, use the hashtag FTAS. That's FTAS, or for the after show. And it gives us an opportunity to talk about topics. You know, as they pop up in your head, you put it in there. We stick it at the end of the show notes and we come back to it. So it may not have anything to do with the show topic. It may. You just never know. May not have anything to do with geocaching. Like, you know, birthdays. They don't have anything to do with geocaching. Oh, yeah, they do. It's all about numbers. Breilang's numbers are going up.
Yeah.
Oh, I like counting ages. One, 182. No. Sorry. He started me off with the Swedish chef. Bork, bork, bork.
There you go.
Okay. Three Ham says, 'twas a weekend of specials around Victoria. One webcam, 9 where I go, 9 virtuals, plus a letterbox, puzzle, traditional, and an earth cache to boot.
Nice. Well done. Sounds like a great weekend of enforced merriment.
Enforced merriment. Iham wants to know, how many world turtles are among us in the chat?
Oh, like how many people have achieved the world turtle who are in the chat? Yeah, that's a good question. There you go.
I have Yeti to achieve it.
Bah!
I did that.
A little late now.
Oh.
It's over, isn't it?
No, I only got to Yeti.
Okay.
Which is, you know, 35 plus. I don't remember how many I got. I was just a few short of dragon.
Well, that's pretty good. Good job.
Yeah. Yeah, got what I got.
Most importantly, did you have fun?
I did. I hit a little geocaching power trail in Rainier and got 16 caches in a day.
Nice.
Which, you know, no big deal, but it was a hot day. You know, it was only 2.5 miles, so I walked it relatively quickly. My wife was nice enough. She came along. She dropped me off at one end and picked me up at the other.
Very cool.
But I tell you, in that 2.5 miles, I sweat.
I bet you did. I bet you did. It's hot out this year.
Keats has almost 5 world turtles.
Ah, good for him. I didn't know. It doesn't lap like that, but yeah, he's just basically, wow. So that would be almost 500 caches during that 1 month period. That's pretty good.
That's impressive.
Nice work.
On GeoGearheads.
Yes.
There was a question brought up of, you know, I've seen some people post 1,000 caches in a day. You know, is that really even possible?
It depends where you are.
Yeah.
And how you're caching.
Yeah. ET Highway, it might be if you have enough people that you can rotate out.
And that's a thing. So basically, we have done in the Heart of the Mojave series, which is very proximate to the ET Highway, and it's the same idea. It's the same thing. You're in the deserts of California, and along an old highway, and basically it's just every 162 meters there's another pill bottle in a pile of rocks, right? So it's not terribly exciting. So it's really important to do it as a group so that you enjoy it and you have fun doing it. But anyways, we got well over 500 caching from morning till dusk. And so based on that, I would say 1,000 as a group rotating in a vehicle like that is possible if you went sort of like midnight to midnight.
Mm-hmm. I've talked to people who have done the ET Highway in that, and they say it's important to get a minivan that will drive with the side door open. Because they would just drive with the side door open, you know, go out and grab the cash, jump back in.
Yeah. So. Well, I mean, we did it in an SUV that basically, you just sort of had the one door propped open. And when we talk about rotating, it's like everybody sort of has a job, right? So you'd have the driver, obviously.
Yeah, it's an important job. Don't forget that
one. Very important job. Sitting beside the driver is the navigator, the person who's clicking the GPS and saying, no, stop. then, or back up. Then there's in the back seat, you would have on the shoulder side of the back seat, you'd have the person who's hopping out and actually grabbing the caches. And then on the other side of the back seat, we would have the person who's stamping logs and getting the next cache ready to go. So you kind of rotate through those tasks as the day goes, so you don't, you know, end up losing your mind.
Yeah, you don't burn out doing one of them.
Yeah. So that's one way of doing it. But yeah, I would say 1,000 is doable. But you'd be going like midnight to midnight and
A true 24-hour period.
Yeah.
Cut off the door and then tuck and roll.
There you go. Yeah, the rental company isn't always super pleased about stuff like that, but you know.
That's why you buy the insurance.
Oh, so that you can cut the door off the truck.
Yeah. You do that in the hotel, it's like, hey, you're just going to back up against this pole with the door open. Pop, it came off. Now we're good to go. Or get a Jeep where the doors come off.
There you go. That's probably a better solution. Brian Lang had a hashtag Fatas. He asks, oh, this is an interesting one. He asks, if a new virtual or earth cache is published and you have the answers or photos required from before the publication date, can you claim the find? So I would say you can, but you probably should not.
I agree with you. Yeah, that question has come up quite a bit. Oh, you know, I traveled to the Grand Canyon before geocaching was a thing, and I have the photos of the plaque they're asking for. Can I log it? Well, technically you can, but should you?
If the answer's right, then yeah, fine. Yeah. But should you? I guess that's up to you as an individual how you want to play the game.
Right, exactly. I mean, you know, can you log a find without signing the physical log? You can, but it's not the way the game is played.
Yeah.
So IHAM says 1,000 in a day does not sound fun. Sounds too much like work.
Yeah, I would agree. I wouldn't. I mean, we did, I think it was close to 580 or something like that in a day. and it was a long day. And we had fun because we were goofing around and such, but it was draining. Like by the end of the day, we're back at the hotel at night and sitting out in the hot tub, and just everybody was done. It was like, yeah, we're done.
People, they were still going through the stamping motion, even in the hot tub.
Stop my arm.
And this guy just kept getting out of the hot tub and back in. We couldn't stop.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, can you do it? Yeah. It's up to you if you want to. Like I said, I would do it with a small group of good friends who you get along with really well, because it's very easy to get on people's nerves on a day like that.
Okay. So we have people who can do math in the chat.
Good.
NW Hokey says 1,000 caches is a cache every 1.4 minutes for 24 hours.
Yeah.
So, and IHAM says we had some friends doing caches every 40 seconds during part of the ET highway.
Yeah. And the thing is, you know, you got to eat, you got to drink while you're doing that. And you probably have to go to the bathroom at some
point. Vodka. Well, not if it's hot enough.
Yeah, I suppose. But so again, that's why I think NW Hokey's point, 1,000 is a tough goal to hit. I don't know. I guess you really, really got to want to do it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you can do it. Is it fun? Maybe. And again, it's the people. It's not the cash at that point.
Yeah.
Keepers of the Cash Flow has a fantastic. He says the geocaching network is going to be doing a live hangout with us and some other vloggers. I believe it's August 2nd, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
There you go. Plug made.
There you go. Bryling says a new virtual cache was just published near Victoria. Nice.
Cool.
Oh, yes. And you have to stop by the Alien Inn. There it is. This is Little Alien. Yeah. Right. Dormore says, I still haven't found 1,000 caches in a whole year. Yeah, right. And some people find them in a month. Some people find them in a day.
Yeah, well, it's all in what you want to do. And as long as you're having fun, right? If it's not fun, then why are you doing it?
Right. And that's geocaching is such a diverse game or activity or hobby or whatever you want to call it, that you can, you know, focus on different parts of it. Looking at GeoCoin Fest, you can focus just on the coins. And not actually go geocaching. So.
There you go.
So.
Cool. Well, this has been a fun podcast. We probably should wrap it up at this point.
Okay. Folks, thank you so much for joining us. Join us next week as we talk about grandfathered cache types. And until next week, get out and get caching in the Northwest.